Well, we don't want to let this moment pass. Well, the words in those songs, they just put that whole picture together of why we're here and why Christ came. And let's just pray. Father, Lord, we are overwhelmed by your love and your grace and your goodness. Even the thought that you would come on this earth and give your life for us, it's overwhelming. And Father, we bow before you now in our hearts. We thank you. We thank you for loving us. We ask you, Lord, just to open our hearts to see how deep and how wide, how high and how long your love for us extends. We ask you to open our eyes spiritually to sense your presence right now and to see your greatness and glory. And we listen. We ask you to speak. And Father, we have your word to look at here. But we don't want to look at it with our minds. We want to hear it with our hearts. We want to know you and we want to understand the depth of what you are saying to us in Christ. And we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, we're kind of on a long, long series that kind of started off with what God is seeking on this earth. And he is seeking true worshipers. He is seeking people who will see his greatness and they will fall before him and open their hearts to listen and to connect and to have an intimate relationship with him. He's not looking for people to obey the rules. He's looking for people to love him as he loves us. And you don't have to worry about rules when that happens. You can't describe worship and what it does in your heart. But that's what God seeks for us. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us just to obey him. He wants us to love him and to feel his love. You can't explain that. But it doesn't happen outside of worship because that's what worship is. And that's what we come for. That's what God calls us for. I'll try to preach this sermon if I can. But hearing from God is what this sermon really is. It's just an extension of where we're at. And I realize that as we're here, we hear God's word as an extension of what our worship is and where our heart's at. You know, God's word's on a piece of paper. Everyone in this room is reading and listening and hearing what's on that paper differently. You're hearing according to what God has done in your heart and what your relationship with God is. And I think sometimes it's good for us just to stop and realize that when we're here and we're listening right now, we want to hear God. We want to have an experience with God that we are closer to him when we walk out. That's why we have the service. It's why we come together. I've got the words to the part of that last song that we sang. It says, you gave your life away. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Think about those words. God came down in the form of a human being so that he could give everything that he had away, that we might see what was in his heart. How does your heart respond to that? That's the question I was going to start off with. So how do you respond to that? When you think of those words that we just sang, when you think of what we sang, which started with God entering this world in the form of a little baby, and now risen after he paid the price for our sins, sitting on a throne in heaven waiting to come back for us. And we sing of that great love. What do you feel in your heart? That's not rhetorical. I was asking. What do you feel in your heart? How do you respond to that? Hopefully not by tearing this up. Anybody, how do you respond? Surrender. Yes. With joy. With thanksgiving. With the desire to give yourself back. Surrender. Isn't that what we want from those we love? We want them to just surrender themselves back in love to us. And that's really what God wants from us. And that's what true worship is. Worship is responding to God in a grateful giving of our lives to Him because of who He is. So you can't worship unless you see God. And you can only worship to the extent that you see God. You say, my heart feels like it's exploding. Everyone's heart doesn't feel like it's exploding. Why does her heart feel like it's exploding? Because she has listened, she has heard, she has understood. She sees the magnificence of God. The more she sees it, the more it affects her entire being. Her mind, her emotions, and the choices that she makes in this life. I want you to look at that again. Worship is responding to God. Worship is not something we do. We come here and we sing songs. That's not worship. It's a vehicle from which we can worship. You're sitting here right now and you're listening to, as we get into it, God's word. That's not worship. As you hear God through that, and as your heart seeks to understand what God has for you because you love Him and want to respond to Him, that's worship. Responding to God is worship. And so this is just a vehicle in which you can connect to God with however you choose to focus, to surrender, to seek, and to respond. It's to respond in a grateful giving of our lives to Him. That is always what happens with true worship. When I see God for who He is, and my heart is overwhelmed with the gratefulness and the joy that He sees and loves me, and when I see how great He is and how much He has done for me, it affects my mind, it affects my emotion, and it always affects my will. Because if you don't respond by wanting to give to the Lord, you have not worshiped. You've sung songs and you've listened and tried to intellectually understand the truth about God. But those facts are not the truth. He's the truth. That's why Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm the truth, not the facts about me. I'm not about you understanding me, because the fact is we cannot understand Him. We experience Him, and He opens our vision of what life is really about slowly as we can handle it. But we don't understand what God is doing or who God is. But we give ourselves to Him, and we are able to experience Him. But our worship is a response because of who He is, not who we are and not what we need. Because our relationship on God is not built upon the fact that He can do anything and we need everything. That's true. And the benefit of having a loving relationship with Him is that He loves us and He takes care of us. But that's not what the relationship is built upon. The relationship is built upon who He is. And that's why Jesus came on earth. Because it's hard for our minds to comprehend who he is. He had to show us who he is. John starts his gospel out at the very, very beginning. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." You know, some of you are older like me, and you remember when the hippies came in, and before that they were called the beatniks. Now, I was really young when they were the beatniks, but weren't they silly? You remember they'd go around in coffee houses, they'd play. How many of you have heard Bob Dylan? Now, I mean, let's get real. Is he a good singer? And I know he's really poetic and stuff like that, but I mean, you know, occasionally there's something that makes sense, but how many of you know a lot of his songs, they don't make any sense at all? They're just like, they're cool. Oh, yeah, Word. You remember when they used to say that? Ooh, Word. In other words, that's really profound, Jim. You caught the essence of the key to the mystery of life in what you're saying. It's really profound. And you know, we used to watch stuff, and sometimes you see them on TV, and they'd say the stupidest thing that you have no idea what they're saying, and everybody, ooh, yeah. And, you know, to be cool, you got to say, Word, man. That was the Word. You know, we get you. We don't know what you're talking about, but we get you. Well, God gives us the Word, and it is the key that unlocks the mystery to life, but it does make sense because it's grounded in who he is. In the beginning, there was the Word, the essence of who God is, the essence of life, why he created us, who we are, how we relate to him. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We don't understand the mysteries of life without understanding who God is. He's the key. He's the answer. And he, the Word, Jesus Christ, who expresses that in a form we can understand, was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the first thing that God reveals to us is that he created us. And sometimes we look at that and, you know, we don't really realize how deeply the Bible tells us we need to think about creation. It tells us who God is. When we look at how our scientists have explored and gone out to see how great and how vast the universe is, he stretched all that out and he's beyond it. That's how big God is. And we have other scientists that go and they are searching for all the intricacies of life and they invent higher and higher magnifications, and the more they magnify, every time they can see, there's another level of life underneath it. And they say, scientists tell us that as big as the heavens are wide, as deep and small the microscopic world goes, and man is right around the middle. Can you imagine that? Think about how big space is and how small you are, and think that there are minute microscopic things that distance below us. What kind of message is God sending us about how wise and how incredible his knowledge and wisdom is compared to us? Just thinking about creation and the fact that our bodies are so intricate and that we're alive and that we can move and see and touch and feel and all of the wonders of life. Just thinking of that should make us fall on our knees to think, we know nothing. We know nothing. Who are we to stand up and tell you what to do? Who are we to figure out where life should be or where we should go? We understand nothing about what's underneath all the things that happen in our lives. God knows every unintended consequence. When you think about just in creation how vast and intricate and deep his wisdom is, we can't even begin to search out how wise God is. And yet we can be in the middle of things with such great things above us and such great things below us and be unaware of how incredible our Creator is. In the beginning is God, and nothing is created without him. Everything works together because he sees how it should go. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ came into this world unlike any of us. In him was life. And we don't know the truth by understanding the words he spoke without understanding the connection and the life that he had with God within him. They can't be separated. We don't understand. The Bible tells us we don't believe with our minds, we believe with our hearts. It comes through that relationship. I heard a story this week where a man was talking about some experiences he had, somebody in this church, and he had been working. And he had felt like God had wanted him to reach out and start reaching out to people around him. So he had done some Bible studies at work. And he was walking around one day at lunch, and he passed a homeless man, which he had done many times before, passed homeless people in the area where he's working. And the guy said, "Hey, can you give me something?" And he walked right on by like normal, and God stopped him. I said, "You need to go back there." And this is not a sermon about helping the poor or how you should do that or not. It's a sermon about God spoke to him and said, "Right now, at this moment, I want you to go back. I want you to help me." And so he went and he got a sandwich and he gave it to him, and he talked with him, he prayed with him, and it started a kind of a group. First he started doing it, then a group started doing it of reaching out and just sharing the love of Christ with people, and they're growing through it. It's not about what they're doing. It's not about the fact that he goes out and gives a sandwich or gives a tract or talks with somebody. He's connected to God. That's the light. The light's not the knowledge. The light is the fact that here's a person who doesn't live light like everyone else. He hears God, he responds to God, he worships God with his life. That's the light of men. No one but Jesus could do that. Because we are not connected with God from birth. But he came and he had life in him. And seeing how God was in his life and seeing the love of God in his life opens our eyes to who God is. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. Remember, Jesus somehow humbled himself to the form of a man, and just to make sure we understood it, which we can't understand it completely, he came in the form of a baby. He wasn't like Adam, a full-grown man set on this earth. He humbled himself completely, where he could not speak, he could not talk, he could not get any food for himself. Nothing that we can do could he do at that moment. He was like an infant that was newborn. The glory seen in him is the glory of the Father that ruled his life from birth. He came from the Father, and we see that he is full of grace and truth. Let me tell you, that's not what we thought. Someone who is so wise that they could create this universe, including the microscopic world, who is so much more advanced than us that they could put everything together to actually have us experience life. Do you realize scientists have no idea what life is? They can talk about the body and how it functions, but you have a consciousness. You're alive. How does that happen? And we know that things can affect the quality of our life. And we know that our life in this world ends, but we have a sense inside of us that there's something beyond this world. We don't know what it is, and no one can describe what life really is. We just experience it. My son was working at a old folks' home to do some community service stuff, and he had an experience where a lady told him she had had what she called a near-death experience, where she had flatlined for 7 minutes, And I mean, she's, I don't know why she's telling this stuff, but she had this stuff and she was in heaven and it was so beautiful and her friends and family were around and she could feel herself coming back and she was yelling, no, 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 no. And they woke her up and the doctor said, why are you saying no? And she said, because I didn't want to come back. Well, maybe that's from the drugs or maybe, who knows what that is. But the fact is that represents the mystery of life. We don't know what it is, but something inside us tells us that there's more. What is life? It's something only God, the smartest scientist in the world, has no idea how you're alive and conscious right now. It's something beyond man's ability to find out. We look at that and we think about how anyone that smart and that powerful, that with a word he can bring things into being and with a word he can end it. Most of us would be afraid of somebody like that. And yet Christ came to show us we don't need to be afraid of God at all. Colossians 1:15 tells us that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, he fills the universe, so we know that it's not talking about the physical way that God is. But God's really not physical, he's spiritual. We don't even understand the dimension of how that is. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. God is all-powerful. Sometimes we walk around as little specks of dust on the earth or in the universe, and we don't realize that without God speaking us into creation, we would all be gone. We exist only because God wants us to exist. We are in this room only because God has extended to us his love and we have come to realize that he wants us to be close to him. He is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and he made things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. It's an awesome thought when you think of who God is, isn't it? And how we could walk through this life with complete unawareness of who he is. And he opens our eyes to see that through Christ. He existed before anything else, and he holds all things together. Think about that. Nothing is going to happen in your life without Christ holding it together. Now, sometimes he holds it together even though we're in rebellion, in patience, waiting and hoping that we will find him. Other times he holds it together in order to accomplish his will through us because we are submitted to him and worshiping and following him. But irregardless of how he chooses to show his grace and his mercy to us, nothing happens in our lives without God's allowance and support of it. He holds all creation together. What is God like? You know, I find this verse so interesting. God came in human form so that we could see who he was. Through creation, we can see how powerful, how awesome he is. We see that power. We know that we are nothing before him. We can resist nothing in there. And yet he comes in a form that we can see, and he says, learn from me. This is what I'm like. This is what I want you to be like. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Isn't that amazing? We think about ways in which we can see how we're growing closer to God and how God's working in our lives. Let me tell you, one of the most important things is this. When God transforms your life, the Holy Spirit makes you gentle. Christ came and he was sensitive to other people. He was sensitive to what they thought. He was sensitive to what they needed. He was sensitive even to how he related with them. Because he loved them and cared about them, he knew they weren't where they should be. He was hoping to bring them where they could be and where he wanted them to be. And so he was not harsh. He was gentle. And he was humble in heart. Sometimes that confuses people. Because humility is a term that comes from breaking horses. And when a horse's spirit or will is broken, so instead of going where it wants to go, it goes where its master directs it, it is said to be humbled. It's got great power. A horse has more power than the rider. If you've ever seen one decides he doesn't want to go where you want him to go, you know that. You can't hold a horse down if he wants to get away. He's too powerful. Yet he restrains his strength to accomplish the will of the master. And even though Christ is God himself, the Word was God, he came on this earth and humbled himself to show us what a human being's relationship with God was, who God was, how he felt about human beings, who we are as human beings, how we relate to God. And he was completely humble. He had great power. He had great strength. He had crowds around him. He could have done many things for his own advantage. He could have done many things that could have run over people to get good things done. But he thought of that big picture, and he did nothing that the Father didn't show him or didn't tell him. He was humble in heart, even unto death. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That is such an interesting statement, isn't it? We just sang a Christmas carol, and I really love the way that that was put together, where it was talking about Jesus coming on earth here, and Jesus coming where we're a bride ready and waiting for him. Let me tell you what. The world was not a bride waiting and ready for Christ when he came. They weren't ready for him at all. They didn't even recognize him because they were dead spiritually. They didn't see who God was. They didn't understand who God was. Their concept of God was not in line with the truth. And they feared God and they wanted to use God. And he came to that which was his own and they did not receive him. And we're in a place today where, sitting in this room, I hope your heart is one where you are ready to receive Christ, where you are ready to follow him, where you are a bride waiting for him. You know his love and you are waiting for him to come so that your relationship with him will be totally enmeshed. He received his own. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Think about that. Christ died for everyone. And those who don't receive him get no benefit from that sacrifice. Yet those of us who do receive him, he gives us the right to become the children of God. Now that's not in this physical world. There's a physical world and there's a spiritual world, and we're born in this physical world and we grow and understand it easily. Spiritual world is very difficult for us to relate to. God is a spirit. It's difficult for us to see him. But when we turn and receive him and respond to his love, his Holy Spirit comes into our heart and we are now born what? We're born again. And all of a sudden God quickens and awakens our spirit. And we are able to relate not just to this world physically, but we're able to see and to understand and to feel and to be revealed to God the spiritual things that are going on in this world around us. And we have the right to follow him and be transformed into his image. In other words, our heart can be changed to be gentle, to be lowly, to be humble, to be full of faith, to be full of hope, to be full of peace, to be full of joy. We can be the people that God wants us to be. But we cannot be those people if we have only physical life. And we know inside of us that there's something missing that only God can fill. And Christ came to do that. He gave his life away. He gave his life away for us, so that we as an individual could connect to God and could allow his Holy Spirit to give us true life. Where we're not just going through this world as a physical being trying to get physically everything that we can out of life and hoping that will fulfill the eternity that God put in our hearts, that can only be fulfilled through his love and a relationship with him. How does your heart respond to that? Well, the Bible tells us it should respond this way. So, brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Isn't that interesting? God loved us so much, he gave us his only son. And he gave his life that we might have life. Let's pray. Father, when we want to get honest, we want to know everything. We want to be in control of everything. But if we're going to be honest before you, we're really not in control of anything. We have the illusion of it sometimes, and we can exert a little bit of power for moments. But even our own life, we have no control of the next breath we're going to take, when we're here and when we're gone. And you have given man the ability to have great wisdom. But we cannot understand what true life is. Only through you can that be revealed to us. So, Father, we know we need you. We thank you that Christ came to this earth that we might know that we don't have to run in fear or be awed and back away from your greatness. But that great love for us brings us into your arms, into your family, close to your heart. That you love us, that you care for us, and that you want to open up true life to us through Jesus Christ. And so right now, Lord, we do respond by giving ourselves to you. Maybe there's someone here who has never truly stopped to think how great you are and given their lives totally in surrender to your will and your wisdom. And if that's where they are, Lord, I pray right now that you will just touch their heart to let them know that you are here and that this is their opportunity to grab your hand, even though they don't know exactly what that hand is. But they know that your hand is extended through Christ. There may be some of us here, I guess all of us here, who are following you and want to follow you, but we know, Lord, we need to grow. We need to grow closer to you. There's more of our hearts that you can take. And so we surrender ourselves completely to you because of how great and glorious you are. And we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.